in the immediate backdrop of this prayer is the temptation that Jesus faced. And what is Jesus then doing? Jesus is teaching us to pray that we won't have to face what he faced, that we won't have to go through what he just went through. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you've joined us for this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, we need a little context. What temptation had Jesus just faced?
Yeah, so Jesus in this Lord's Prayer, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in the immediate preceding context, Jesus has just been baptized and then led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And of course, Jesus prevails in all three of those temptations, right? And then now he comes out of that experience, calls the disciples together, and he goes up on the mountain and he gives this Sermon on the Mount. So in the immediate context, Jesus has just been led into the wilderness to be tempted and has come out victorious, having not fallen to evil itself. And so the context is really, it's really clear. Jesus is saying, I'm teaching you, my disciples, to pray that you won't have to go do what I just did, because I did it for you, right? Jesus faced down the devil and he was victorious. And now in him, we don't actually ever have to face the devil in the same way that Jesus did, because we face a defeated devil, and we face a devil that Jesus has already conquered. And that means we're not doing it alone. We have Jesus who's gone before us. We can follow Jesus and keep our eyes on him, and he can give us everything we need as we step through and face all the temptations and trials that come our way. And so it's a beautiful picture to keep our eyes on Jesus as we face all the trials that come into our lives.
Now, stay tuned, beloved, because after the message, Pastor Philip is going to have a discussion regarding casting a vision for what it looks like to finish well in life. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church for part three of the sermon, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Our text today is Matthew chapter 6. We'll start at verse 9 through 13.
This prayer helps us run to our Father. Run to our Father. This request, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, like all the requests in the Lord's Prayer, is addressed to our, say it, Father, our Father. Jesus is teaching us that when the tests of life come and evil rears its ugly head, what are we to do? Run to our Father. Don't look to yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to face it alone. You have a Father who loves you, and you're never alone, and so we can run to him and take refuge in him, for he is our help and our strength in our time of need. And if we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us, these tests are not punitive, they're purifying. These tests are not punitive, they're purifying. The distinction here is vital. It's vital for us to understand. If you're in Christ, friends, God is 100% for you. Not 99%, 100%. Your sin has been atoned. You are forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which means if God is, he's 100% for you. He's not 99%, and with that one remaining percent, he'll give you cancer. He is 100% for you in Jesus Christ, which means that all the hard things you face in life, if you are a follower of Jesus, all those hard things are not punitive. They're not punishment. Jesus paid it all. These are purifying things. God is using these hard things for a purpose, to refine us and grow us and transform us and change us. In all of these things, God is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. He's growing us in resemblance with our Father, and He's transforming us into the glorious sons and daughters of God that we were always meant to be. In Hebrews chapter 12, one of my favorite passages, Hebrews chapter 12, God is addressing people who are suffering a great deal. And the writer to Hebrews says, he calls them to endure hardship as sons, because God is treating them as sons. He's training them up. He's disciplining them, which feels unpleasant at the time. But the writer to Hebrews says, God is doing this for your ultimate good, that you might share in His holiness and the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes, no temptation, peirosmos, the same word, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials, peirosmos, same word, of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what this means, friends, is that when we face the trials of life as children of God, all of those hard things, as hard as they are, have been filtered through the loving hands of our Father and are designed not to take us down, but to grow us up. And it's all about our highest good and everlasting glory. It is the forge that is making us into the people we were created to be. And so this prayer, don't you see, helps us run to our Father, to come into His presence, to depend on His grace, to trust in His hand and what He's doing in these moments. God, I don't like it, but I trust that You're good and that even this will be working for my eternal good and Your glory. I don't know how, but I trust You. And so we yield, do you see? We yield to His delivering power through the tests of life. He is present and He is with us. Now you say, what would that even look like? Well, if you need an example, look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. That's our fourth point. Look unto Jesus. Not only is Jesus giving us an example in these words, He's also giving us an example by His life. And as Jesus prays this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, both He and His disciples would have sensed the irony of these statements, because just two chapters earlier, in Matthew chapter 4, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You see the parallels? The Spirit led to temptation. This is in the immediate context. In chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Chapter 4, He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. 40 days, He's there. He returns. He calls the disciples to Himself and then goes up on the mountain and gives the Sermon on the Mount, including this prayer. In other words, in the immediate backdrop of this prayer is the temptation that Jesus faced. And what is Jesus then doing? Jesus is teaching us to pray that we won't have to face what He faced. That we won't have to go through what He just went through. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one Himself. He squared off against the devil one-on-one, face to face, and three times He was tempted and prevailed. And of course, that was only the precursor to the ultimate and greater temptation and test that Jesus would face in the Garden of Gethsemane. To save himself, to forsake the cross, and through the agony and bloody sweat of tears, what did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he pray? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross. If there's any way out, don't lead me into this test. But if it's not possible, deliver me from evil. Not my will, but yours be done. I surrender to you. Do you realize this is the same prayer? What Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane is basically the same prayer as this. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And don't you see, friends, if Jesus, the rightful Son of God, his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased, if Jesus faced the ultimate test and temptation, if he faced down the evil one, if he bore the ultimate cross of our sin and our shame and our death, and if he rose victorious over sin, death, and Satan and has been crowned with majesty and glory on high, if Jesus did that for you, if he faced the ultimate test that would have taken you and me down, if he triumphed over temptations and trials that we could never withstand on our own, if he prevailed in our place and for our sake, if he's our substitute in every way, and we have now been brought to his Father and have been given all the resources of grace and the gospel that are ours in Jesus Christ, all the resources of heaven. If God brought his true Son through trials and temptation to glory, to the ultimate test, friends, he can deliver you and me from evil as well. Our Father can take us through the cross to glory because we are his sons and daughters, and he turns our tests into glory. And friends, Jesus is victorious, and we follow him. We follow him. In Hebrews 12, it says this, verses 1-3, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the majesty of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. Do you see the logic? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who faced the ultimate test, who bore the ultimate cross that looked like it would crush him, and yet it turned out to be a diamond. He turned out to be a diamond. The rock of the cross crushed him, and he was revealed in glory. Do you see that? God delivered Jesus from evil through the cross into resurrection life. And now Jesus looks at you and me, and he says, come, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Walk with me into the fire. Walk with me to the cross. Walk with me into the hardest tests and trials of life. Follow me, because I know the way to glory. And if you follow me, that glory will be yours too. Friends, I know of no greater source of courage and strength in the midst of the trials of life than to look to Jesus. If he walked through the fire for me, I can walk through the fire for him, right? If he took up his cross for me, I can take up my cross for him. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. Friends, Jesus knows the way. He knows the way through the tests of life. He knows the way of the cross. Everything that goes on to glory must first pass through crucifixion. And Jesus alone can lead us. He can guide us and keep us and protect us and shepherd us and befriend us. And no matter what kind of tests in life come our way, Jesus is with us to the very end, from here to eternity. You see, life is full of pop quizzes, tests. Our Father is our professor. Jesus is our tutor and guide. And the exam is in session. It's called life. By God's grace, may we fix our eyes on Jesus and endure the cross that we might share in his resurrection glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. And now, before we start today's conversation, Pastor Philip and I just want to acknowledge our faithful partners that make this program possible. As our way of saying thanks for your gift, we have a resource we want to make available to you. Go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you've joined us today as we focus on Jesus in the middle of life's tests. Now, Pastor Philip, this is really interesting. To help our listeners understand, how does reflecting on Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, how is that going to help me in my day-to-day test? It does.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So, you know, a few years ago, there was a situation that I was dreading. I was trying to avoid it at all costs, and there was people that were all aggravated, and I was going to have to like get in the middle of this thing. And I was hoping to avoid it. And then it became obvious I was not going to be able to prevent it at all. And I had to like go into the fire, you know, and I did not want to do it. And I just remember the Lord, just in a real like quiet way, just reminding me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that like, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Like, Jesus knows what that is like, to stand on the cusp of something you don't want to deal with and go through, and it's going to hurt. And he goes, if it's possible, Father, take that cup from me, right? It's like what he says here in the Lord's Prayer, like, lead me not into the temptation. I don't want to face it. I don't want to go through the hard test. You know, if you can prevent it, please. But then Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. It's a surrender, isn't it? It's sort of, if I have to go through it, you know, you have your way. I'm going to give myself to you and trust that you've got me. You know, that's what Jesus is doing. It's the same thing, you know, deliver us from evil. It's the same posture, right? Here I am. I'm just protect me. I'll go through it if I have to, but you just hold me, because otherwise I don't have a chance. And I just remember reflecting on Jesus in the garden and realizing, like, if Jesus could stare down evil and could go into something that hurt, even though it was going to be miserable, but knowing that his Father was going to be with him and he would sustain him by his grace and it would be okay, even though it was really hard, then I can do that too. I can go into this situation I don't want to face. I can deal with the pain I don't want to. I'm trying to avoid, but I can face the fire and know that if God's with me, it's going to be okay. It'll be all right.
This is so much more than just biting on a stick.
No,
And enduring it.
Because God's with us in this, right? God is with us, bearing up, providing grace, his presence and power. Like, we're not alone. And here's what's amazing too, is like, Jesus gets it. He gets what it's like to go through hard things. And if he went through hard things, then I know he'll be with me through it. And I can learn to do hard things too. And so I think this is a huge resource for us when the trials come.
You talk about life is the curriculum where we get tested. So in the school of hard knocks, so to speak, the school of life, help our listeners today. What does it look like to graduate, to finish well?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, it's we were following Jesus to the very end, aren't we?
Yeah.
And the way we are going to get to the end and actually look like Jesus and act like Jesus and talk like Jesus and have the character of Jesus is if in all of these tests along the way, all those little decision points, mm-hmm. we chose to walk in the Spirit, to metabolize the resources of grace, the presence of God that is with us through the trials. We cling to Him more and more. We're becoming more and more reliant on grace, on the presence of God. We know we can't do it on our own. And so over time, that becomes increasingly true of us, that we know we're nothing if it's not for God. He's got to hold us. He's got to be enough. He's got to be our strength. Mm-hmm. He's got to be our portion. He's the only way we're going to survive to the other side. And at the same time, He's actually making us resilient, isn't He? He's working into us the character of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we're full of the Spirit, full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're learning character and obedience and perseverance in the midst of hard things, so that we actually are coming out looking at more and more like Jesus. That's what winning looks like, you know, in the end, is what we've learned to live by grace, to count on the presence of God through the trials, to allow Him to work His will and goodness into our character as we yield in obedience, clinging to Him every step of the way. And you and I know this, like we'll go visit folks in a nursing home or whatever. And it's amazing that the distance between people who have tried to, you know, the trials of life hit everybody.
Yeah.
But people have responded in really different ways. Some people have, you know, tried to do it on their own and they break. And they lose a lot of things in life and they get bitter. And, you know, at the end, it's kind of cantankerous and sad, you know, just the bitterness and sort of the negativity. And you can see that at the end of life. It's just sort of their souls have shrunk. And then there's some of the most beautiful people you've ever met who have allowed, they've had really hard things hit them in life.
Yeah.
And yet they've clung to Jesus in the midst of them. And that grace has softened them and they've become more obedient and pliable and receptive to the Lord's grace, and he's worked on them, you know, so that they're now full of joy and beauty and glory, and their bodies may be wasting away, but their souls are huge and ready to graduate, you know, and so even just in 70 or 80 years, we can see the wideness of the gulf between what it looks like to stay close to God and metabolize His grace and walk in obedience and follow Him and those who choose to go their own way. And so finishing well looks like that. It looks like clinging to Jesus every moment to the very end. And in the end, laying down in death, knowing that Jesus has defeated it all, and you wake up in the arms of the Lord forever. We'll forever be with the Lord. That's finishing well.
And amen. You're never alone, beloved. Remember that. And you can stand with rock-solid, durable conviction because Jesus Christ is not just one option among many religions, but the God-man who defeated death itself. And friends, as we head towards our fiscal year end on August 31st, we have some exciting news. During this crucial month of August, every single gift you send to support Living Hope will be doubled. Dollar for dollar, thanks to matching challenge from some of our very generous friends of this ministry. When you give, we want to send you Pastor Erwin Lutzer's book, Christ Among Other Gods. This resource is exactly what you need to strengthen your faith and stand boldly for Him in a pluralistic culture. To request your copy of Christ Among Other Gods and to have your gift doubled, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us. 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. If you're going to stand in the face of temptation, we need to rely on God's word like Jesus did. And next time, we'll talk about the preservation of God's word. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.